From 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Tuesday, December 16th, 2025. I'm Eric Thiel. Cabarrus County Commissioners welcomed their newest member Monday night and changed leadership. Ian Patrick was officially sworn in to fill the remainder of Lynn Shue's term after Shue passed away last month. Patrick is a former member of the Harrisburg Town Council. His term runs through November of 2026. The board also elected Laura Blackwell Lindsay as its new chair. Patrick was named vice chair. Charlotte Mecklenburg Schools says its recent drop in enrollment is in line with forecasts made by consultants. James Farrell has more on the district's response to new data that shows its enrollment is at a 12-year low.
At a budget workshop Monday night, CMS said the enrollment decline was not a surprise. Still, lower enrollment means less funding from the state, so the district plans to hire 200 fewer employees this year to, quote, right-size our team through natural attrition. CMS has pointed to a consultant's report from 2024 that anticipated long-term enrollment growth, projecting a roughly 4% increase by the 2033-34 school year. But the enrollment forecast showed a streak of short-term declines, with enrollment dips through the 2027-28 school year. CMS characterized the enrollment dip this year as lower than the rate of decline at the statewide level. Still, CMS enrollment dropped to 139,476, a 1.7% drop that amounts to the steepest decline since at least 2004, excluding the pandemic. James Farrell, WFAE News.
A telecommunications real estate developer has scheduled a community meeting for a proposed project near Reedy Creek Park in East Charlotte. American Tower filed a rezoning petition for 58 acres on the east side of Hood Road, north of Kentshire Lane. The company builds broadcast towers and data centers. The land is currently zoned for residential and office use and would be rezoned for general commercial use. The petition includes plans to build up to 40,000 square feet of office, data storage, and utility infrastructure, including new energy transmission infrastructure. American Tower is hosting a meeting Thursday, December 18th at 6:30 via Zoom. More information is available at our website, WFAE.org. It's been a difficult year for North Carolina's immigrant community, especially migrant workers, with community members battling federal immigration crackdowns, rising heat, and other challenges. Zachary Turner dropped in on one advocacy group's end-of-year celebration to revisit the highs and lows of 2025.
Leticia Zavala is a coordinator with nonprofit It's Our Future. She educates, organizes, and advocates for migrant workers. Tonight, she's celebrating the nonprofit's achievements, but the year has been tough.
There's a lot of insecurity for workers as to whether it's worthwhile to come back or not next year.
North Carolina welcomes over 20,000 agricultural workers through the H-2A visa program. This year, those workers faced wage cuts, high heat, and a short harvest. Sylvia Zapata, executive director of nonprofit Student Action with Farm Workers, attended the celebration. She said 2025 was devastating for the Hispanic community.
So for next year, I feel like we're more prepared. That's the word.
Zapata said she's looking forward to working with Zavala on a new farm project in Nash County to give migrant workers their own plot of land to work on. Zachary Turner, WFAE News.
The latest batch of rulings from the North Carolina Supreme Court once again didn't include a decision on the decades-old Leandro case over school funding. It's been nearly 2 years since the court heard arguments in the case, and education advocates are frustrated over the delay. James Farrell has more.
At a press conference Monday, the North Carolina Association of Educators accused the state Supreme Court of neglect. Here's NCAE President Tamika Walker-Kelly.
They made a decision to neglect almost 1.5 million public school children here in North Carolina. They neglected their needs for books and classrooms. They neglected their need for school counselors and nurses in our buildings. They neglected the need for us to have safe buildings, smaller class sizes, and educators who are supported.
The so-called Leandro case has been going on since 1994. The courts have found that all North Carolina students have a right to a, quote, sound basic education, and that the state was denying students that right by not adequately funding schools. In 2022, the then-Democratic majority state Supreme Court ruled that the state was responsible for funding a remedial plan. But after the court flipped to a Republican majority, it agreed to reconsider. The court last heard the case in February 2024. James Farrell, WFAE News.
Peak holiday travel is almost here, and Charlotte Douglas Airport officials are expecting a busy travel season, but significantly less busy than last year. Kenneth Lee has more.
Airport officials expect about 2.7 million passengers to arrive and depart during that period, down 13% from last year. The number of local passengers, people starting or stopping their trips in Charlotte, is expected to be down 5%. CLT officials say the busiest departure days will be December 19th, 26th, and 27th, with air travel expected to peak between December 26th and 28th. More than 27,000 flights are scheduled during the holiday period, a 6% decrease from 2024. The airport will have extra staff in bright yellow vests to guide and assist travelers. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
Immigrant-owned businesses in Charlotte are struggling 1 month after U.S. Customs and Border Protection conducted immigration enforcement raids throughout the city. Many customers no longer feel comfortable being out in public or don't have the money to shop because they haven't been able to work. Julian Berger spoke with businesses across the city and has more.
Step into North Tryon Laundromat in Charlotte's Hidden Valley neighborhood. Business is slowly picking up again. As customers begin to wash bags full of dirty clothes. Last month, CBP agents arrested people in the laundromat's parking lot.
This one was right outside the laundromat, and I know that guy.
Owner David Herboyoso showed me the video he recorded outside his business. He says the laundromat has been a ghost town ever since.
It's practically empty, you know, more than half of the cars that used to park there, because that was kind of a measure of how the activity was, you know. How busy the parking lot could be, but it's dropped significantly.
As other businesses nearby closed, Herboyoso decided to stay open.
When customers come to the laundromat, they come to spend an hour or two, and so it was important for us to help in that respect.
Even so, Herboyoso says he lost more than 50% of his profits since last month. Other businesses are feeling that same impact. Like at this Colombian restaurant on South Boulevard, which asked WFAE not to identify it by name because of ongoing concerns about government action. It opened in early November.
From Thursday to Sunday, I had no availability, no way to make any more reservations. Basically, there was a 1 hour wait to get into the place.
That's its manager, Andrea. 2 weeks later, as CBP began its operation, that changed, even though the restaurant stayed open.
There were no profits during that week, basically no gains at all. The loss was evident in every respect.
As a new business, Andrea says they're struggling to pay off loans and bills as business remains slow.
People are still afraid, and even if they have enough money to say, okay, I can go out to eat, they decide not to. They decide not to do it because they don't want to expose themselves.
Down the road in East Charlotte, La Morenita Bakery closed for a full week.
We actually were forced to shut down. The biggest hit that we took was actually on that Saturday. I lost about $3,000 in sales. All in all, I lost about $10,000 at least.
That's owner Ray Hernandez, who says the bakery is still struggling. When I spoke to him at 2 p.m., he had just made his first sale of the day for $7.
I feel bad because 95% of our clientele, it's Latinos. And you know, that typically, like I said, they walk around here and whatnot, and people are afraid to go out. There are people that are not working.
His husband, Frey Lara, owns Lara's Beauty Salon on Central Avenue. When I arrived, the front door was still locked as a precaution to protect employees and customers from CBP agents.
It's been 4 weeks now that we've been affected because there's practically no work. People are afraid to come to these places.
The holidays are typically a busy time for salons. Stylist Juan says that hasn't been the case.
We are practically working at less than 50% of what is normally produced during these times. So it's really a loss for everyone.
Greg Asciutto from Charlotte East says the economic impact feels worse than the early days of the COVID pandemic. a comparison other businesses made as well.
You had concern, fear, business owners that impacted everyone. They didn't know how to keep themselves safe, their customers safe, their employees safe.
Charlotte East surveyed over 90 businesses during the first week of the CBP operation. Nearly half said they closed for at least 3 days, with an average daily loss of $2,500. Ashuto says he's unsure of when the business landscape could get back to normal.
With a month of disruption at this level, still going into the holiday season, not clear on what things are looking like. I don't know. It could be 6 months. It could be a year.
Businesses like North Tryon Laundromat are now finding creative ways to bring customers back.
Create a safe place where people can come in to my laundromat, to my business, and feel comfortable, feel safe that we are going to be looking out for them.
And they're bringing back some joy in life to immigrant-heavy corridors that have been mostly quiet. Rebolloso and his team have hosted salsa dance lessons and holiday gatherings since the CBP operation. Julian Berger, WFAE News.
It's been almost a year since President Trump began his second term. His administration's changes in policies and funding have led to big changes in Charlotte's housing, healthcare, food, security, and education. Reporter Jim Morrill took stock of the changes as part of the Charlotte Journalism Collaborative. He spoke to our Marshall Terry.
Let's start with that first one, housing. What are the policy changes and what's at stake in Charlotte?
The big change is that the federal government essentially ended a program called Housing First. And that's based on the notion that housing should be a prerequisite for people dealing with addictions and mental illness and not just a reward for overcoming them. And advocates like Karen Pelletier of Mecklenburg County Government say the Housing First program has a long track record of success in getting people off the streets and into stable homes. The model that they use is getting people into homes and then providing wraparound services in terms of addiction treatment or mental health counseling, whatever else they need. And the new policy, by contrast, would enact work requirements and require a treatments for addiction and mental health counseling before people can get housing or at least long-term housing. This is a big change, and Pelletier told me that there are more than 500 people in Mecklenburg County alone who currently live in housing under the Housing First programs. Nationwide, of course, there are a lot more. There's almost a couple hundred thousand, I think. She said she's afraid that, and other advocates are afraid, that this would put people back on the streets.
Okay, on to healthcare now. How is it being affected, and how does the General Assembly's failure to pass a state budget for North Carolina factor in?
Well, there's a lot of ways that it's being affected. I talked to Raynard Washington, the county's public health director, and he's lost more than a dozen employees to budget cuts and program changes, and that includes several disease investigation specialists who specialized in HIV and sexually transmitted disease. And some of those jobs restored, but the interruption in the jobs led to delays and some investigations not going forward. One leader of an LGBTQ group told me that they're poised to see the numbers of HIV cases increase in a way they haven't seen in years. Another way is the growing vaccine skepticism from people like Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And Raynard Washington said he's seen evidence of this. For example, the number of pertussis cases or whooping cough has jumped from around 2 a year to around 70 in the past year. Whooping cough and pertussis can be dealt with a childhood immunization that people apparently aren't getting. And then, of course, there's Medicaid, and that affects a lot of people in Mecklenburg. 1 out of 3 Mecklenburg County residents, over 400,000, receive Medicaid benefits. And county officials say as many as 31,000 of them could lose benefits under the new federal work requirements. And that could grow to more than 80,000 Medicaid beneficiaries who lose benefits if North Carolina's General Assembly doesn't do something about the Medicaid expansion program. And that's problematic, especially since the state doesn't have a budget right now, and there's been no movement that I've seen of legislators trying to take steps to protect the program. And then, of course, there's just the health care programs for people who are covered under Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. And in Mecklenburg County, that's more than 135,000 people. And those people could see premiums double or triple or whatever when the tax subsidies expire at the end of this month. There's a lot of people who could be affected.
And food security, we all saw the turmoil around SNAP benefits recently. What's happening there?
Yeah, in Mecklenburg County, again, there's a lot of people who depend on SNAP benefits. 137,000 SNAP recipients in Mecklenburg County. But the problems with this year go even deeper than the shutdown. Nourish Up, which is a food pantry here that helps a lot of people, they've seen a 50% drop in help from the Emergency Food Assistance Program, which is a federal program. And another federal program that would have provided $11 million to food banks around the state has ended. And this year, Congress added work requirements to the SNAP program and shifted some cost to the states and counties. And officials say the work requirements alone could result in 17,000 Mecklenburg County residents who lose benefits under the SNAP program. So that's a lot of people.
Finally, what effects are these changes having on education in Charlotte?
Well, Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools lost almost $7 million in grants to support teacher development and recruitment this year because they were perceived to foster DEI. DEI is something that the school has to deal with in a way anyway because the board chair of CMS told me that, you know, they have to deal with diversity in a district where 146 languages are spoken. So diversity is something that you can't ignore. Stephanie Sneed, the board chairman, told me that her more immediate concerns were the well-being of the 44,000 Hispanic students in CMS. She said that when federal agents were in town for Operation Charlotte's Web, which you remember caused a lot of turmoil in November, some kids came to school with handwritten notes attached to their book bags that said, "I'm a citizen." So she's worried about those people too.
What's the mood among nonprofit and education leaders going into 2026?
They're clearly worried, and some expect they haven't seen the worst yet. You know, the cuts will continue and that things will kind of build upon themselves and not get a whole lot better. But at the same time, there's a kind of resilience in the nonprofit community. And as one nonprofit leader at United Way told me, she said, "We're a tough bunch and an optimistic bunch or we wouldn't be doing this." And so I think you're going to see them plowing ahead the best they can with what resources they can muster.
All right, Jim, thanks for walking us through all that.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Marshall.
That's reporter Jim Morrill.
And for Tuesday, December 16th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.